Blog Talk.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is MC Money reporting in, and I am joined this week, just as I am each and every week, by Sutton the Soccer Dad and Houts. And yes, folks, we are about 6-7 months in, and we still don't have a nickname for Houts, but we will get there one day. But anyways, a ton of news to cover tonight for the Miami Dolphins and Finsider Radio. I'm going to be blatantly honest with each and every one of you listening right now. The chances of us getting past Julius Thomas and talking about anything else are slim to none. And that is because we have a very special guest coming on the show in just about 15 minutes. Max Himmelrich at Himmelrich NFL, who's been lighting it on fire on Twitter recently, cited by Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald last night, Wednesday night for those. Wait, what is today? Tuesday? Wow. Monday night, cited by Adam Beasley. Cited by Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald for his film breakdown of Julius Thomas. So Max is, doing a hell of a job, and he's going to be here to talk to us about exactly what Julius Thomas brings to the table. There are many, many differing opinions on Julius Thomas. I think the one thing that everyone can agree on, though, which is fact, is that Julius Thomas has never played 16 games in a six-year career. Now, when you look back at 2011 and 2012, you can say that he wasn't a starter, which is true. So you can discount that. But even when he was a starter in 2013, 2014 for the Denver Broncos, and 2015, 2016 for the Jacksonville Jaguars, he has never played 16 games. 2016 played in 9, 2015 played in 12, 2014 played in 13, 2013 played in 14. But here's the thing. When he was with Adam Gase with the Denver Broncos, his first year under Adam Gase as a starter, 788 yards, 65 receptions, 12 touchdowns. 2014, his yardage went down to 489, but again, 12 touchdowns. I'm starting to think, Houts and Sutton, that Julius Thomas may be coming to Miami not as an every down tight end, but as a guy the Dolphins stick on the field when they get towards the red zone, and they could throw that ball to him and he can make the catch and, of course, put points on the board. Now, before we start talking about that, I just want to go over the trade scenario breakdown for you. Here's what's going to happen right now. The Dolphins are going to send Julius Thomas to the Jaguars. They're going to send their seventh-round pick, their 2017 seventh-round pick, to the Jaguars for Julius Thomas. Now, Brandon Albert, who the Dolphins were going to cut earlier a few days ago and then pull that back once they found out they might have a trade market for him, their deal with the Jaguars is completely separate than the Julius Thomas deal. The Dolphins are going to get a seventh-round pick in 2018 for Brandon Albert. So if we just take away the team, it's easier to understand instead of trying to think about why it's not together. Julius Thomas to the Dolphins for a 2017 seventh-round pick. Brandon Albert to the Jaguars for a 2018 seventh-round pick. Julius Thomas in Miami today to take his physical. We have heard no news about it, so no news is, of course, good news. And he is going to restructure his contract. Terms are not yet announced, but I am hearing it is about $4 million plus incentives, which makes plenty of sense. Now, for you, Sutton and Houts, I know we've been texting back and forth a lot over the past several days. Ever since Sutton got on Twitter, it's like a whole new world for him. Doesn't even talk to his wife anymore, neglects his kids, and all he does is text Houts and I all day long. I mean, my boss at work today threatened to fire me because I was on my phone so much talking to Sutton. And, Sutton's a little out of control with this Twitter thing right now. His wife texted me and said, "I don't know what you did to my husband, but he's not even talking to me anymore. His face is in his phone." And I'm going to start with you since you seem to be all over Twitter these days. What is the reaction you're getting from Dolphins Twitter? And then Houts, we're going to take the angle for you. I mean, what are you, your personal opinion? I know you've been heavy on not wanting a tight end in the draft for the Dolphins. So does this satisfy you, or do you want to see more from the Dolphins? Sutton, we'll start with you. Reaction from Dolphins Twitter. What do we have?
Oh, Dolphins Twitter was lit AF on Monday with just the details emerging. Nobody's really knowing what's going on. The prevailing sentiment, though, is we got Julius Thomas for a seventh rounder, so we're not going to get the return of a draft pick in all likelihood from a seventh rounder like we will Julius Thomas. And what you said in the beginning of the show, that you read my mind, bro, read it. He's going to be a red zone threat, and I don't think this means the end of Deion Sims with us. And I can see this tight end situation playing out as a 1A, 1B. So I don't think Julius Thomas is going to dominate the snaps by any means. I think Deion Sims will still be a complementary piece of this offense. But it was, you know, you had your Debbie Downers who are thinking, you know, well, Julius Thomas played with Peyton Manning, and, you know, there's no way he's going to get that kind of production again. Well, I think it's more realistic to kind of take the average of what he did in Denver and what he did with Jacksonville. So I think it's still very solid production, and that's better production we've seen from the tight end position in a while. So even if Thomas is a number two and, you know, strictly a red zone threat, and when you think about it, Kenny Stills had our – most touchdowns, so we may have to replace some of that production in different ways. So I'm really a big fan of this move, and if anybody can get Julius Thomas back on track, it's going to be Adam Gase.
Yeah, I completely agree with Sutton. For me, the biggest thing when I heard about the trade or the potential trade was, what were the Dolphins going to give up, and was he willing to restructure? And I think we found out in the last few, 24 hours, that it was a seventh-round pick, like you said, Kanata, and then he was going to restructure his contract. So for me, that's a low-risk, high-reward move. I think, like you both said, he's a perfect fit in this offense. He's been in this offense before, and he's going to be a red-zone target. He's going to be kind of like a blanket for Tannehill when things break down or he doesn't have someone open on the outside, he can dump it over the middle of Julius Thomas. One concern, of course, is the injury issues. And I think that's why Deion Sims is almost, in my opinion, they need to re-sign him. He does things in as far as a blocker that Julius Thomas might not do. And I like what Sims did last season. I mean, when you compare the stats, they were almost identical to what Julius Thomas did. And I know Julius Thomas had Blake Bortles throwing passes at his feet. And, I mean – Ryan Tannehill and Peyton Manning, but he's a hell of a lot closer to Peyton Manning than Blake Bortles is. So I love this move for the Dolphins. I think, like you said, it fits that need that they had and will allow them to go elsewhere with the 22nd pick. So I really, really like this move, and I think it's a low risk, high reward, and I'm excited to see Julius Thomas in a Dolphins uniform.
And so just one quick thing about the injuries, and I know it's justified. I'm a little bit conflicted about this because there has been a variety of injuries. But from what I've seen, he's missed most of his time with a fractured hand and a fractured tailbone. And fractured bones don't concern me as much as ligaments and tendons and stuff like that. So, yes, there is some injury concern, but it's not an ACL. It's not an Achilles, even though we have a guy on our team who just came back from an Achilles injury like a freaking baller. But we're not talking about major catastrophic injuries.
Yeah, so here's the thing with Julius Thomas. Interesting enough, when Jordan Cameron was about to be asked to take a pay cut to stay with the Dolphins, Julius Thomas reached out to Jordan Cameron, who was his friend, and said that it would be worth it for Jordan Cameron to take a pay cut to play for Adam Gase because of his track record with tight ends, right? Now, things didn't work out, of course, for Cameron in 2016 because of concussion-related issues. But we did see Deion Sims start to turn the corner a little bit as the season went on. Now, Julius is coming to Miami. And if he can stay on the field, and again, I'm not so sure they're going to use him as an every-down tight end because there are questions about his blocking and his limited route running. But I do think he's going to be that secret weapon once they get down towards the end zone. And once they get in that those positions where they can kind of bring out that vertical threat, you know, kind of like a part-time player rotation-wise with Deion Sims. Remember, they just re-signed Marquise Gray as well. So they, it seems like they have their three tight ends. I mean, I don't know if they would carry four tight ends on their active roster on game day. That seems a little... Duarte's more of a blocking tight end, not really a receiving threat. Duarte's more of a receiving threat than he is a blocking threat. The Dolphins were trying to work with him on his blocking, which is why he didn't see the field too much. So if you combine that and you improve a little bit on his blocking, I think you might be all set with tight ends. Now, the thing that's going to kill me is if O.J. Howard, which I don't think he will, but if O.J. Howard drops there to 22 with the Dolphins on the clock, you know, you're passing up a guy who is projected to be one of the best tight ends in recent NFL history to come out in the NFL draft, and you're going to pass up on a guy because you just got Julius Thomas. I hope the Dolphins wouldn't pass him up because, again, for me, I'm going best player available, and I'm not so sure there's going to be anyone else better than O.J. Howard on the board if he's there at 22. But, again, I don't think we'll have to live with that situation because I don't think the Dolphins will be in position to draft him at 22. And my argument for going best player available, I mean, just look at Laremy Tunsil, right? The Dolphins, by all accounts, didn't need a left tackle last season because they had Brandon Albert. But they drafted best player available, which was Tunsil, and they put him at the guard position. And lo and behold, of course, Brandon Albert doesn't play a full season. But now, with Brandon Albert having a loaded contract for this coming season, they are able to move on from him because they have Tunsil. And just see how things work out. I mean, everyone says it, right? Pick best player available. Pick best player available. Pick best player available. But very rarely do we see an NFL team actually do it because of those needs, because they panic, because they are not adequately prepared for when these situations do happen. So, again, for me, I'm always picking BPA. Of course, there's an exception with the quarterbacks. If you have your franchise quarterback, you're not going to pick BPA there, I don't think. I know the Patriots do it, but listen, the Patriots have a lot more flexibility and leeway than any NFL franchise in this league. So we'll have to see how the draft shakes out. Free agency, there was nothing. We've talked about the tight end market and free agency, and there's absolutely nothing there. So it will come down to the draft in terms of what the Dolphins do when it comes time to bolstering that tight end depth. Before Max Himmelrich joins us, let's jump to the live thread. Let's answer a question or two. Before talking more about Julius Thomas, Houghton Sutton, do we have anything going on in there?
We got one from Daytona Dolphin. He says, now that Albert is gone, do we replace him with a free agent or draft this position? I'll take this one. I mean, we talked about on the show last week, Dolphins are definitely going to be interested in a guard. I think they would have been even if they did get Albert to restructure and move him into guard. But for me, it's like Kevin Zietler, Leary. I think Warford's one of them. So I definitely think the Dolphins plan to improve that garden, and I won't be surprised if they do it early in free agency and try to make a big splash by signing one of the top players at that position.
Yeah, same guy, Daytona Dolphin, Joe. That's another good question. Do any of you on the panel see us releasing or trading Pouncey? MC Money, will we get to that later, or do you want to go ahead and talk about that now?
Yeah, no, let's talk about that now because later after Julius Thomas talk with Max, we're going to jump to the defensive line pretty quickly. The thing with Mike Pouncey is more than likely he is going to be asked to restructure his contract and take a pay cut. And if he doesn't restructure his contract, then there is a possibility that he is going to be released. But we'll have to see how that plays out. Okay, but for now, let's go ahead.
No, I was just going to say those hip injuries scare me to death.
Yeah, and listen, we'll talk offensive line probably next week. So please, again, save that question a little bit. But right now, that's the word on Mike Pouncey. We have a little bit to go. All right, so let's bring up Max Himmelrich. Himmelrich NFL is his Twitter handle. The unquestioned leader, the unprecedented president of Dolphins Twitter, Max Himmelrich, welcome to FinSider Radio. Max, it's been quite a 24 hours for you, huh?
A little bit. Day in the life. It's been fun. I lucky to work with Adam on that article. Everything's good. Yeah, can't complain. How about with you guys? I haven't been on the show in a while.
Yeah, no, everything is good. We're cruising along here. Sutton is finally on Twitter, as you probably saw.
Yeah,
and,
I saw that.
You know,
that's been a welcomed addition. We talked about how to get his kids to be Dolphins fans.
Yes, and
yeah, that's a tough one. But I mean, like, the Browns will do the job for you if that's your competition. Matt, did you tell everyone the story about how your house was haunted, and how did that work out for you?
Yes, we did tell everyone that there was that help message behind the refrigerator when I first moved in. Everyone is aware of it. We haven't heard any crazy noises. No, nothing crazy has happened. You know, the house
so
does settle late.
So you haven't found out yet that a Topher put it there, right?
It would not put it past him to be up here and put that up behind the refrigerator. I could totally see him doing
that. Just leave.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, not even say hi or anything. But, you know, let's talk about Julius Thomas. We were talking about Julius before you came on. And then we're talking to Max Himmelrich from the Deep End Miami at Himmelrich NFL, the deependmiami.com. You put a lot of film about Julius Thomas. We were talking before you came on about the possibility that Julius might be a part-time player in terms of getting him on the field just in the red zone and when the Dolphins need that vertical threat, when they're in the right quadrants of the field. Based on your film review, do you think that is a possibility, or do you think they're really going to bring him on to become a full-time tight end at every down tight end?
I don't think the division that we should be talking about is red zone versus, you know, 20-yard line or, you know, 4-minute drill, whatever it is. Like, the big distinction for me is the biggest thing. And, you know, another huge factor is going to be his conditioning, because that was the biggest thing I saw in Denver versus in Jacksonville. He gained, I called it on Twitter, the free agent 15. He went from Peyton Manning to Blake Bortles, and he let it show. So it's going to come down to him being in shape, too. I think a lot of the times when he came off the field in Jacksonville, it was probably because he couldn't be on the field. And I think, you know, when you get in shape, a lot of those little injuries that keep you out on Wednesdays and Thursdays go away. Things like that get better. I wouldn't worry about, you know, where he's going to be in the field, because in reality, he's not going to be in line that often. He's going to be, you know, split out wide or, you know, in the slot. And what Adam Gase loves to do is just move those guys around. So I think by taking him off the field, you remove some of the elements of surprise. So I think they'll find creative ways to leave him out there.
And Max, that is definitely a great point, because, you know, you want to get someone like that on the field at all levels and all areas of the field. But the thing that will always keep popping up until he proves otherwise is his injuries. Of course, not playing 16 games in a 6-year career, has only been a starter for 4 years, really. So you could say, you could look at the 4-year history of that. Putting him on the field obviously exposes him to more risk of being injured. You got Deion Sims, you got Marquise Gray, you got Duarte lurking around trying to improve there. I mean, you know, where do the Dolphins go from here? Are they done at the tight end position? Do they still continue to move forward? I know they haven't officially re-signed Deion Sims yet, so things could still happen there. But do you think they look at the draft? Do you think they look at free agency to try to bolster that depth a little bit as insurance?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people wonder. I think actually the progression of the news yesterday has a lot to do with that. So I kind of think the mindset, when you bring in a Julius Thomas, you can't do it with him as the only guy. You know, you can say it without being cynical. You realistically only get him for 9 to 10 games a year. At his best, it was 14. So, I mean, at this point, if the trade had been, let's say the original plan was to restructure him, get him to around $6 million a year, the Dolphins were, that was not a good plan, because then you can't keep Deion Sims as well. So I think by having trade work the way it did and kind of breaking things off and showing Julius Thomas, like, you're either going to get cut by Jacksonville or you're going to have a chance to restructure and gain some security in Miami, I think that kind of helped everything work out. Realistically, the Dolphins entering next season with Deion Sims and Marquise Gray, Gary Gray, it wouldn't have hurt them in terms of the win-loss. You don't win or lose games unless you have Gronk, Jimmy Graham, a guy like that. So I think really it does bode well for the Dolphins. And Julius Thomas, he's extra credit. You know, if he's out there for 9 or 10 games, he's like what we thought Arian Foster was going to be last year. I thought Arian Foster was going to have 1 or 2 big games, help the Dolphins
you know, push forward a little bit, but be a non-factor other than that. I think that's going to be Julius Thomas next year. I think in a week with a good matchup, you know, let's say they're heading up to New York to play the Jets, who have an awful linebacking core, and you need a guy who can attack that position group, Julius Thomas is your man. But I think on a week-to-week basis, you got to have two more tight ends on that roster who are reliable. And I think last year, you know, the Dolphins tandem worked fine. So I think at the end of the day, Julius Thomas is extra credit.
Max, the ruler of the seven kingdoms of Dolphin Twitter, thanks for joining us tonight.
You guys, I don't know if this is a family show. You guys are all assholes.
This is definitely not a family show.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that, and I was like, I would be kind of weirded out if, like, I had a 13-year-old kid, and he was, like, listening to you guys talk about the Dolphins on his Tuesday night, no offense.
Right, absolutely.
That's a compliment.
So, you know, we're looking at the possibility of a incentive-laden contract, you know, trimming down the contract from 7 to maybe 4 with incentives. So I think that's a good thing from our point of view that we're, you know, his – performance is really going to dictate how much he gets paid. Now, you followed him a little bit more. Did you get the sense that he kind of took plays off in Jacksonville when he got paid? I mean, did you get a sense of apathy from him after he got paid?
I don't think so. I don't think it was apathy after he got paid. I think it takes an incredibly unique athlete to truly give 100% all of the time. It takes a guy like Cameron Wake or Jarvis Landry who just something doesn't connect right in their brain and they don't think like everybody else. They're just machines. You know, you look at guys in the bigger scheme of sports, guys like Michael Phelps, who works for 4 years while he's already the most decorated Olympian of all time, not taking that time off after he had his whatever. And then LeBron James, another guy who just is always on 100% of the time. You know, there are guys like that in the NFL, but when you go from Peyton Manning to Blake Bortles, the sense of urgency just isn't going to be the same. You know, it's
true.
It's tough to really get yourself to that point. I think I don't think he took plays off. Like, I don't think he went out there saying, I'm not going to run this route. You know, he wasn't doing the Randy Moss routine. He was really out there trying. But the problem is you look at a lot of concentration drops, and how just deflating must it be to be out there and to be open and then to have your quarterback throw across the field into triple coverage to a wide open defensive back. Like, Blake Bortles is terrible. I mean, Blake Bortles is a terrible quarterback, and any Dolphins fan that thinks Ryan Tannehill's bad, I'm going to put on tape of like Blake Bortles and like Alex Smith from some of the playoff games and like Jay Cutler and Colin Kaepernick and all these guys who are actually garbage, and let them see what it's like. I mean, it is not bad to have Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback, and Julius Thomas is going to be improved by it. It's not Peyton Manning, but I think, you know, Adam Gase's system also works much better. The Jaguars had a ton of plays going right at the line of scrimmage for Julius Thomas. He's not a yard – he's not shifty. You know, he's not going to make people miss at the line of scrimmage. He's just a smooth athlete. You know, he runs well. So if you can get him in the open field in the, you know, the sweet spot for tight ends between the linebacker and the safety, that's where he's good because he can get to that area pretty quick. You know, a lot of plays for the Dolphins next season are going to be Ryan Tannehill stepping back. He's got 1 foot. He's got 1 foot back, and he sees you've got a linebacker, a safety, a corner blitz, and then Julius Thomas somewhere in between. That's what Adam Gase is trying to get with this trade. That easy hot route for Ryan Tannehill where he can just say, I've got a corner blitz. If it's to the same side as Julius Thomas, I'm going to Julius Thomas. And with Blake Bortles couldn't even do that because half the time he would miss fire. So I think it's impossible to mentally be where you were in Denver in arguably the least – you could really make a strong argument that they're the least established and kind of the hardest to invest in franchise in the NFL. Like, at least Cleveland's got history and you're like trying to fight that history. Jacksonville, like, they had like Tom Coughlin years and like, you know, they had like Pocket Hercules and then like a wide receiver who got arrested whose name I forget, like from like the 90s.
Max.
Jimmy something maybe.
Max, thanks for
Jimmy
joining
Smith.
Us.
What was
my
that?
Question for you is, do you feel that Julius Thomas could replicate what he did in Denver? I mean, I know it's not the same situation, but do you think in this offense that it's unrealistic to expect those kind of expectations from?
I just think it's less realistic because of the way that the Dolphins play. I think things were a little bit more vertical in Denver than they are in Miami. So, you know, Julius Thomas's stat line, he would have like 700 yards, and I think he had like 24 touchdowns in like 2 or 3 years. In Miami, I don't see that happening just because the offense doesn't go vertical. So the guys who have that are like Kenny Stills, who make it happen with yards after the catch. So I would say the number of receptions, if he's healthy, let's say the contingency being that he's healthy, which I don't think will happen, I think he'll, you know, have a role. It's hard to make a comparison, but I think he'll have a decent season, you know, play in 8 games. But if he were to play in 14 to 16 games, I think he'd have, you know, more catches than he had. And I think the effect would actually not be that Julius Thomas would have more production, but that Jarvis Landry would have more production. I think right now Jarvis Landry is the tight end. He's always underneath. He's always on short routes. I think they'd be able to let Jarvis Landry loose a little bit more if they had Julius Thomas in the fold healthy. So I think you'd see higher average yards per catch for Jarvis, maybe more touchdowns. But I think still above average, but not what he was in Denver for Julius Thomas.
All right.
Now,
that
quick
is a
follow-up question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead,
Alex.
No, MC Money is screening a call right now, but I was just going to say, you know, you're alluding to the fact you have Julius Thomas opening up the middle more. If we lose Kenny Stills, do you think that affects how this offense flows without having that vertical threat? And you kind of alluded to that also earlier, talking about the Denver offense.
I think losing Kenny Stills would impact the offense more than a lot of other things. You know, he was the first receiver who we've seen Ryan Tannehill get comfortable with beyond 25 yards in his whole career, and it happened in 1 year. It was the first time that he really got comfortable with a receiver deep and was able to make it work. I think bringing Kenny Stills back is a huge priority, because if not, you've got to go into the draft and you've got to get a speed guy. So I think that, you know, they're making moves right now. What we're seeing right now is smart spending for the Dolphins. They're making good things happen. That's what someone said to me the other day. They used that phrase. And smart spending for the Dolphins would be to keep Kenny. I mean, like, he needs to be there. It's the best I've seen him play in his career. He might have had, you know, more production for a year in New Orleans. It was the best I've seen him play in his career. And it was the best rapport, other than Jarvis Landry, that I've seen Tannehill develop with a receiver. And, you know, the type of deal they give Kenny Stills is going to be indicative of how they feel about DeVante Parker, obviously. But Adam Gase is bringing in these guys because he wants to have a semblance of what he had in Denver, which is, just think about the sheer number of weapons in Denver. It's like, who do you stop? It's pick your poison. So the goal is going to be next year to get in one set on the field. You've got, you know, Kenyon Drake could be huge in the passing game next year if he can, you know, take another step. But even if not, you've got Jay Ajayi, Julius Thomas now. Then you've got Jarvis, DeVante Parker, and hopefully Kenny Stills. You can't defend all of those guys. That's just too many players. It's a numbers game. It's going to reduce the pass rush. It's going to create mismatches, and it's going to make life easier for Ryan Tannehill, because he doesn't have to decide, you know, what's going on other than where they've got a soft spot, because they know someone will be there who can catch it. So, you know, it's not like this year where if you've got a soft spot and Deion Sims is heading there, you're like, I don't know if he'll get there. I don't know if he's going to get there fast enough. I don't know if he's going to catch it when he gets there. When you've got these guys on the field, I think you've got a more reliable situation in which anything goes in terms of where the ball could go on any given play.
All right, Max Himmelrich, thank you for joining us. Again, that is Max Himmelrich at Himmelrich NFL, thedeependmiami.com, the unquestioned leader and president of hashtag Dolphins Twitter.
You're the worst.
Excellent
You're
points worst. About Julius. Excellent points about Julius Thomas. Again, fantastic film breakdown. If you're not following Max, please do so. It's only a matter of time before this guy is taking people's jobs in South Florida and writing about the Dolphins on a full-time basis. Max, thank you for joining us once again on Finsider Radio.
Thanks, guys. Max. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Take care. All right, boys. Excellent, excellent points about Julius Thomas and Max, again, very good at what he does. And, you know, fantastic point about Kenny Stills. You know, I've been someone who's been saying maybe let Kenny Stills walk. But after hearing Max, you know, talk about Julius Thomas in the offense, and, you know, maybe they should keep Kenny Stills. And I know I'm in the minority, so I'm, you know, talking to myself here about that. And, you know, we'll have to see how this all plays out with Julius. Of course, you always worry about the injuries. I mean, not even just with guy who's injury prone, but in the NFL. I mean, injuries are almost inevitable. And it's not what happens, it's what you do when it happens. Boys, our phone lines are packed right now, and we have this one guy hanging on for 16 minutes while Max was on. We're going to bring him on. I think this might be Christoph. I'm not sure. Let's tune in here. Let's check out what's going on. Hello, welcome to Finsider Radio. What can we do for you tonight?
This is Zach Goodall.
Oh, Zach, how you doing? I'm sorry. So Zach,
no, all good. That's my bad. I made the late call.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have an extra surprise for you. We have Zach Goodall from Big Cat Country, the Jaguars SB Nation Network. And Zach, you just heard us talk to Max about Julius Thomas. So what we want to ask you now is, and like I said at the top of the show, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, for those listening, this show is all about Julius Thomas tonight. So you saw Julius Thomas in Jacksonville for two straight seasons for whatever time he was on the field. What are the Dolphins getting in Julius Thomas?
Well, it depends on, you know, what Adam Gase is going to do with him, because Gus Bradley, Greg Olsen, and co. really did not know what they were doing. They would have, you know, it would be third and five-ish. Bortles doesn't know how to throw a pass to save his life anywhere, but especially, you know, on the little out routes. And they designed it to have Julius Thomas, who they didn't really, you know, keep in shape. They didn't condition him well. And you could just see that. Like, I saw pictures from the offseason. He looked like, you know, a left tackle rather than the tight end that they signed. It's not like he was slim or anything. But, I mean, you look at David Njoku. I'm sure you guys know a lot about him. And I look at him now and I see Julius Thomas from 2 or 3 years ago in Denver. He was a slimmer guy, not slim itself, but more built than fat. And they'd have him running little out routes, three yards short of the sticks, and expect him to be able to turn suddenly. Being athletic is great for him and everything, but he's not this super type of athlete where he can make that cut and get upfield, and he'd just take shots from defensive back all the time. And I think that actually led to him getting hurt a lot more than anything else. I'm not sure if it's much of a prone thing. It's more of a he was put in the wrong situation that got him hurt. But, I mean, that was just one thing with Gus Bradley and Greg Olsen and all them, is that they had no idea what they were doing with certain players, and that really hurt Thomas. So if he can beat – I mean, I know Adam Gase is – you know, he's a football mastermind, and he's a strict guy. I mean, I've talked to some of my friends about Miami in the past and how, like, you guys had, what, like two offensive linemen in week 4 or 5, and they just weren't cutting it. So Gase said, okay, see ya. You guys are done.
Yeah.
And I don't think he put up – yeah. He just cut them straight up, right?
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And Gase wouldn't put up with Thomas not being in shape and not caring. I don't know if it was him not caring or just not being trained properly and put in the right situation. But you give him a guy like this, and obviously like a disciple with John Fox and everything, and I think that'll kind of return him back to not fully his previous form, but a good player that – I don't think he'll be as injury prone, but you use him right and you're getting someone that's a gifted athlete.
Zach, thanks for joining us. You touched on Julius Thomas, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on the Brandon Albert trade and what you think he brings to Jacksonville and whether or not he can be the starting left tackle for the future.
Well, that's the thing. I was going to ask you guys as well, because, I mean, I didn't like go into much of his film. I see his PFF grades, and I take that with a grain of salt because it's PFF. But, I mean, they were – He was graded lower than Kelvin Beachum, so I didn't really get why they let Beachum walk on, even though it seemed like $40 million is a lot. Like, he was projected to be the 16th highest paid tackle, so it's not like he was getting some elite money. It was pretty much, if I recall correctly, it was pretty much like a one-year option every year, where with Dave Caldwell, I mean, he's bad at a lot of things, including, you know, evaluating talent, but he's pretty damn good at making contracts. And he can make contracts to where, like, okay, after 1 or 2 years, we can cut you and our cap won't die at all. Like, we're going to be healthy. That's how we have, well, I think they have $75 million in cap space right now, where they could have cut Beecham anytime they wanted to after a season and been fine. So I didn't really get it at first, but especially if it was a straight-up Thomas for Albert trade. But looking at it now with the conditional 2018 seventh-round pick, why not? I mean, if Albert was going to be released or gone in some capacity, why not take the shot on that? Because even though Albert had his injury issues and last year seemed to be a bit of a down year, he's still considered to be an all-pro tackle. He's getting older. Like, he won't be getting any younger, obviously, but still with his past, I mean, if you're trying to rebuild that offensive line, whether you have him at left tackle as a stopgap guy, whether he ends up playing guard, like he said he might want to do, as long as he's compensated the right way for it, do something with him, but definitely be smart with him. And I think that's something the Jaguars can finally say they're going to be able to do with Tom Coughlin. I'll just keep my fingers crossed on it. But one way or another, now that, I mean, it was a cheap trade for Jacksonville, do what you can do and use Albert to the best of his abilities, and he should be good.
And I'll throw this out there about Brandon Albert as well. And thank you, Zach, for joining us tonight. I forgot to be courteous. So Brandon Albert is going to bring some veteran leadership to that locker room. I don't know who your locker room leaders are at this point, but what I can tell you about Brandon Albert is that we drafted a guy that he knew was going to eventually take his job and really embraced the mentorship role of things. And some of the conferences that I've seen, or, you know, some of the conversations that he's had since he has been in this flux mode between Miami and Jacksonville, is that he really takes on the mentorship pretty seriously. And it seemed like he was almost brought in to kind of be the offensive line coach on the field, so to speak. And he took that role and went with it. So I think what you're going to get, and you kind of touched on this earlier, him being a stopgap for you guys, he might be one of the best stopgaps that money can buy in the NFL, because he is going to bring that continuity for the offensive line. So kind of going back to Julius Thomas, are you guys feeling pretty good that you just got rid of somebody that you didn't know how to use? Or is there a contingency of Jags fans that thought maybe he could have done something if we had the right offensive coordinator?
I was kind of either way. I, just from some talks I know, I knew that if he was going to stay this year, and apparently there was so many mixed reports, but last week, apparently $3 million of his guaranteed ended up being like guaranteed. There, people were disputing whether it was last week or if it's March 9th. And from what I know, it was last week. So either way, he was getting the guarantee, whether it was in Jacksonville or in Miami. And I knew that there was apparently a plan for how they were going to use him, and they were going to really try it and note, because they knew they spent money on what they could really end up having with the talent, and it was just used totally wrong in the offense. And I knew that there was a meeting that they had where they talked about, hey, first we're going to get you into shape and, like, get you, you know, completely just back, try to get you back to who you were. And then we're going to work to involve you in a much better way. So no, just knowing that there was that meeting, then I was hopeful. But at the same time, all we could rely on is that they had that talk. But we had no further evidence to say, okay, he can get back to what he was. We just are going to hope for it. So I know some fans are kind of like, okay, yeah, we were hopeful because he spent that money and that money's gone, even though the cap is not hurting whatsoever. Like I said, they're at $75 million right now, and they can get into the 80s with a couple more cuts. It's insane how they just keep that cap up. So it's not like losing him hurt. Just some people wanted to ride his potential, but I'm fine either way on it.
All right, Zach Goodell from Big Cat Country. You can follow Zach on Twitter, @Zach_Goodell. That's GOODALL. Again, @Zach, ZACK, I mean ZACH, my fault, _ GOODALL from Big Cat Country,
yeah,
the official.
Not to be confused with Roger Goodell. There's no way in hell I'm related to him.
Yes. Yes. Big Cat Country, the official Jacksonville Jaguars website of the SB Nation Network. Zach, thank you for joining us. Great stuff. We appreciate your time with us tonight.
For sure, yeah. Sorry for the late call. Just work up a little late, but couldn't miss the chance to talk about my bad Jaguars.
Not a problem, man. It all works out in the end. All right, take care. Have a great night, and best of luck to the Jaguars. Hopefully a new fresh start with Doug Marrone and Tom Coughlin there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, for sure. Hope things keep going well with Adam Gase and the Dolphins.
All right, man. Take care. All right, that was Zach Goodell again from Big Cat Country. Again, more good stuff on Julius Thomas, and it gives you a little glimmer of hope, but again, if healthy. All right, let's hit the phone lines. I know we've gone way above our limit for the offseason in terms of, you know, trying to stick to that 30-minute time frame. So we're going to take these two callers. We're going to wrap things up. I'm going to touch on one specific teaser for defensive line, and then we'll wrap up the show. Okay, Christoph, welcome to Finsider Radio. Thank you, buddy, for holding on for so long. What question do you have for us tonight?
Well, I have two quick points and then a question. My two quick points are this. Julius Thomas, still regarding his statistics, and people are talking about is healthy or not healthy, but if you look at his statistics in the red zone, he still managed to put up in four games the same amount of touchdowns that two of our wide receivers and a tight end put up in just a handful of games.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, when you look at it that way, you kind of got to realize what you're getting, even if it's for that limited amount of time.
Yep.
In regards to Brandon Albert, I think that one of the biggest problems with grading on an individual scale is that it takes away from the impact the rest of the team has. So when you talk about how Albert's stats were down last year, you're not taking into account that he was playing with a rookie left guard, a backup center for most of the season, an injured right guard, and a right tackle that we still don't know what we have. You know, he's graded pretty fairly, but, you know, we don't know what James is capable of because he's never had that help on either side. You know, so in regards to what he's capable of, I would take last year's statistics with a grain of salt and just look at his performance off the field. My question is this, though. With the signing of Julius Thomas trade, whatever, the possibility of having to restructure what's his name? Landry, to extend his contract, possibility of going with Stills. Do you think the remainder of our offseason cap space should go on a free agent guard, or do you think we should spend some of that money on the defensive side of the ball and worry more about those pieces in the draft?
All right, Christoph, great points. Thank you for the question. Helter Sutton, which one of you wants to take this?
I'll take it.
I mean, go ahead, Alex.
I was just going to say, for me, I think the Dolphins are absolutely going to look towards the free agency and try to get themselves a defensive line or a linebacker. I also think that still have the money then to spend on a Kenny Stills and even possibly extend Jarvis Landry. So I'm not quite sure that if they do those two things, they won't have a chance to still get a premier player in free agency and build upon that defense.
All right, good stuff. Christoph, thank you again for joining us. We appreciate your loyalty to us each and every week. Let's bring on Kai. Kai called for the first time last week. Kai is coming back to Finsider Radio because he loves us so much. Kai, what questions do you have for us tonight?
Well, I had my original question about Julius Thomas, but now Christoph brought up the point of the receiver and like in Kenny Stills. I know last week, just to go into the salary, I know last week I brought it up and I tweeted at you guys how we should have like 52 million in cap space.
Yep.
Right now, it's probably going to be around 44, $50 million. So I do agree with House that we should be able to sign them and still have enough money to bring in some guards and some linebackers.
Yep.
But the one thing I think that a lot of us are missing, which isn't necessarily so relevant, especially since we should be looking towards defense in the draft, is let's say that Kenny Stills' price tag gets way too high and they don't want to sign him to that deal. this is also a pretty deep wide receiver class, at least into the first four or five rounds. There are a lot of good receivers that you could grab, especially not necessarily the deep threat that he is, but that you could try to go with. We also have Leonte Carew, which we've yet to really see what he could necessarily do. But I don't think it would be horrible if Kenny still leaves. I think it would suck because we would lose a deep threat, especially after his greatest year of productivity. But then going into the Julius Thomas, I think that it all depends. I think they said that he I think Armando tweeted out that his contract is going to be heavily like incentive based, that it's going to be he's really betting on himself for the deal. I don't
and that's
know
a good thing.
If I'm 100% right on
right,
that.
Yeah,
right
just,
now,
I, I'm just all I'm all for the incentive based contract. I think that's a great thing for us, and it's going to put the onus on him to produce.
I think that it'll be better because if like everyone says, he had his greatest years under Adam Gase. But especially with his back against the wall, you're betting on yourself so much to produce. We might get another great year out of him. Maybe not 12 touchdowns, but we still might get another great year out of him and be able to have that contract and be able to just say, well, we still have him on a cheaper deal than what he would be on. I think his cap was supposed to be like 9.8 this year. So we have him at way cheaper of a price, and we should re-sign Deion Sims. So we'll still have two viable tight ends. We still have Marquise Gray. I think the tight end position is fine. I think we can finally stop talking about David Njoku and Jake Butt and all these damn tight ends.
Oh, but I don't want to stop talking about Jake Butt.
You like Jake Butt?
Didn't he
Didn't
he tear his ACL?
Yeah,
he did.
I'm just giving it an option because of his last name.
Who knows?
All right, Kai.
Yeah,
is that it that you have for us tonight?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, man.
Thanks for joining
Excellent points, Kai. We appreciate your feedback. We again thank you for joining us for the second straight week. All right, we're going to close the phone lines here because we need to wrap up the show. We need to get to a few questions and then wrap it up. Before I get to Rob Karuth's questions on Twitter, another loyal listener. We have a lot of loyal listeners, guys. We're going to be celebrities one day, and we're going to give out autographs when we see them at football games.
I hope that's true.
I'll take a free beer.
Yeah, me too. I did say I would give you a teaser. Brandon Williams, defensive tackle for the Baltimore Ravens. Keep an eye on him, please. And could be a big free agent signing for the Dolphins on day one as soon as it is legal to do so. We know that Ian Rappaport mentioned that on the NFL Network yesterday, but I am also told from other people that that is gaining steam. But like I said last week, anything can happen in free agency, so you just got to watch it, wait it out, and see what happens. Because I'll tell you, folks, Ndamukong Suh was extremely close to signing with the Oakland Raiders before the Dolphins sweetened their deal just a little bit. So anything can happen, but the Dolphins are focusing on Brandon Williams and bringing him to Miami to play with Ndamukong Suh. But another name to also keep an eye on is Nick Fairley from the Lions, who has history with Suh as well. All right, Rob Karuth asks, is the fact we got Thomas an indication Gase and Dee doesn't give him more personnel power? Rob, this has been something you and I have been going back and forth on over the past several months. It's not really that, but it's more so of how this has all gone down and how these moves are being made. You'll see more of this as we enter free agency with the Dolphins opening their pocketbook a little more. Yes, Gase is giving more power as well. And then Zach Cunningham or Taco Charlton, both available in the draft. Who are you taking for me? I'm taking Taco Charlton if he is there. I don't think he's there at 22, but if he is, I think the Dolphins will run to the podium with his name. All right, Houston Sutton, what else do we have on a live thread? Do we have anything going on here?
Doesn't look it, man. Looks like we touched on everything.
So this show was jam-packed with Julius Thomas news. I mean, we had two special guests come on, Max Himmelrich and Zach Goodell. We're approaching 50 minutes now for this podcast, and if you're still listening, thank you for staying with us. Lots of news in the offseason, and boys, we have next week, right? March 2nd, February 28th, Sorry, this is my first day back at work today. I work in a school system, so we had a long weekend with President's Day holiday. We had a snow day before the break as well, so I'm all messed up with my dates, thinking today's Sunday. I don't know what today is. So we got February 28th, but after next week, things are going to heat up because March 9th is the official start of the free agency period. But March 7th, when we come back on the air, it is the legal tampering period for free agents. So we will start getting some more information and leaks on the deals that may be happening. House and Sutton, before we leave for the show, any last minute tidbits from you guys?
I think your dates are all off because you didn't drink any beer before the show. I think you're one of those
possible.
Backwards people that focuses better when you have a drink.
Yes,
so,
yes, that is true.
Yeah, you should probably consider a White Russian or something before the show next week.
That sounds amazing, absolutely, actually.
I just want to say you make a beautiful Disney princess, and that was all Sutton's idea. So clear that up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So again, that teaser for you, Brandon Williams, and I know we want to talk about it more tonight. We will talk defensive line next week. I absolutely promise you. So be sure to tune in next Tuesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Houts and Sutton, the Soccer Dad. I am MC Money. Thank you for listening to Finsider Radio, and we'll catch you next week. And in the meantime, join us on Twitter for all discussions regarding Miami Dolphins football. We're the Miami.